This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. Father, so we just thank you, Lord, for just what you've already started in our hearts this morning. Father, and we just pray that you continue this, Father, that we continue to seek your face. Father, just as we've prayed this morning, Lord, that we continue to seek you in adversity, that we continue to seek you in challenging times, Father. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that your word is steadfast and never changing, Lord. We pray that by today's word, we will be encouraged, we will be moved, we will be inspired, Lord, just to keep on moving, to keep on going forward, and carry on. And knowing that you are there for us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Phew. Well. So my sermon title, good morning, church. My sermon title is Mountain Movers and Water Walkers. And you have something planned. And God will just show you that I've got something else planned. Amen. And I really feel that God is wanting to speak to a lot of people here today. He wants to speak to all of us, but some of us specifically need to trust Him today in faith. So that is the message for today. Today's message is about encouraging each other, encouraging us, being encouraged, knowing that the God that we serve is there for us. Doesn't matter what we go through. And we've prayed this morning for a lot of people, but there are still so many that need prayer. And we're going to give time for that afterwards. I actually want us to start this morning by, if you have a pen and a piece of paper, that would be great. If you can maybe take your phone out, make a note. But I want you, or just remember it, but if you can think of one thing in your life right now that you are trusting God for, one thing that you need breakthrough, if you could quickly do that. We're just going to give maybe a minute. If you want to write it down, that would be awesome. If you can remember it, great. I'm just going to continue to read. In James 1, verse 1 to 8. James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of which scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives you all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if we look at the scripture, it says when we face trials, not if, when. We are going to face trials in our lives. We should count it as joy. Now that kind of seems upside down, but in the kingdom, a lot of things work like that. Why do we need to have joy? Because our faith is going to be tested in these troubled times. We are going to be challenged. We are going to be stretched. But it produces a beautiful thing called perseverance. And if we read on in the word, it says that perseverance is going to make us perfect, not lacking anything. So in our trials, we need to have faith. We need to have patience that goes with that. And we must let patience do its complete work in us in order for us to become perfect. In Exodus 14, from verse 13 to 16, and I'm just going to quickly paint the picture for you here. This is where the children of Israel, they flee out of Egypt and they come to the Red Sea. Moses led them, and the Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he sends his army, he sends the best chariots, he sends his whole army after these Israelites. The Israelites come to the sea and there's no way for them to go through this. They come to an end. They feel there's no way forward. They look back, they see the army approaching. They stare death in the face. They even turn to Moses and they groan and they complain and they are scared. They ask, were there no graves in Egypt that you need us to die and be buried in the wilderness? They go as far as to say it would have been better for them to just stay in Egypt and just to continue to serve the Egyptians. Even back then, the Israelites, when they were staring death in the face, Moses was led by God and he gave them that promise. Do not be afraid. In other words, have faith. Stand firm. In other words, be patient. You will see the deliverance of the Lord. That patience will be made perfect. You will be complete. But it starts with faith. So what is faith? We all know this verse in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where does faith come from? How do we get faith? We read in Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if we read the word of God, it's not just about reading it. It's about applying it in our lives. We know this. It's about having a relationship with God. So our faith is going to come by having a living relationship with Him. Why is faith so important? Hebrews 11 verse 6, if we read further on, it goes on to say that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So it's easy for us. Thank you for that. Amen. So it's easy for us to get onto a plane, an 80-ton man-made machine, trust it will take off, fly in the air, soar 30,000 plus feet, and it will safely land. That's easy. We have faith in that. It's easy for us to get into our cars on a Sunday morning and drive to church and hoping, trusting no one will crash into us. Hopefully that does not happen. You all look okay. We have faith. Simply put, faith, without faith, we would never expect things to turn out okay for us, no matter what. There's no simple or logical explanation to oppose our faith or disprove our faith. It's just something that feeds our hearts, it feeds our souls, it feeds us to just continue, to carry on, to press on. In the Oxford Dictionary, it literally means to trust in someone's ability or knowledge, trust that someone or something will do what has been promised. How beautiful is that, that we have this God that gives us these promises and we can trust in Him completely. We can trust in Him fully. He's going to make a way for us and we're going to get to how that way looks, what that way looks. But we can rely on His promise. James 1 verse 6 to 8 we read, and that's the last part of that verse in James, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, stable in all his ways. It's so easy for us as children of God to lose sight of this. And He calls us His children. Why is it so easy that when we come to a mountain in our life, we ask ourselves, how am I going to get around this? How am I going to get over this? How am I going to get through this? We become double-minded, as the word says, double-minded, being torn between belief and disbelief. We trust God will come through, yet we've lost all hope. The word says being like that, we're like waves being tossed by the wind. Instead of asking the whole time, how am I, how am I, how am I, we should be asking ourselves this question, whose am I? See, if we read in Mark 11 with verse 20 to 24, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. We forget that we have mountain moving faith. We forget, and Jesus said so, we are mountain movers. Each and every one of us sitting here, not just some of you, every single person here today. He says in his word, have faith in God. How powerful is that? That the previous day, Jesus, he was coming to this tree and this tree bore no fruit, and he actually spoke to this tree and he said to it, no one will ever eat from you again. His disciples heard this. The next day, the tree was not just dead, it was dead from the roots up completely. Now, if I read this and if I understand the word correctly, Jesus had no doubt in what he said. He did not waver in what he said. He knew exactly it would come to pass. He gave his disciples the perfect example of what mountain moving faith looks like. You see, Jesus knew it would be difficult for us. It would be difficult for man to have this kind of faith. He constantly reminded us. He constantly helped us. We read in Matthew, and there's quite a few verses I'm going to read now. But we read in Matthew 6, verse 30 to 31. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Matthew 8, verse 25 to 26, it reads, then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Matthew 14, verse 29 to 32, and it's the famous part where Peter walks on water, and he says, so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hands and caught him. And he said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Matthew 16, verse 7 to 9, we read, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Little faith. Little faith in the Greek language literally means small faith or faith lacking in confidence or trust. It's a difficult word, so I'm not going to say it. He used this term in various situations to tenderly correct the disciples. Yet Jesus never left them hanging. He never left them. He showed them by perfect example what it means to have this kind of faith. The waters calmed down. He reminded them of what he's already done about giving, providing clothes, providing the bread, providing provision. Provision. Never gave up on us. His very death on the cross was the perfect example of many things. We know this, but it was also a wonderful example of what real faith looks like. In hopeless situations, we know we need to be reminded of what Christ has already done in our lives. He calmed the storms. He fed the multitudes. He walked on water. And by having faith in him, we can walk with him. Having confidence in the fact that he will be right there with us to guide us, to catch us when we fall. When we lose our focus on him, we begin to sink, and we, like the word says, we're like a wave being tossed by the wind. Yet with an outstretched arm, he'll pull us up before we start to sink. In today's day and age, it's so easy for us to say things like, we are busy losing our faith. Our faith is on shaky ground. We live in a time where people are increasingly giving their opinions. People are increasingly voicing what they feel is right. People are continually questioning things and seeking answers. And to a certain extent, I mean, we all deserve to know the truth. Definitely. We all want the cold, hard facts. But once we start allowing the seeking for truth elsewhere, seeking for physical truth, human definition of truth, once we start allowing this to consume us, to change the way we think, to change the way we speak to people, to change the way we believe, we need to know that our hearts are going to become vulnerable to an attack. It's going to be open to the enemy. We start to lose our faith. We start to lose our faith in man. We start to lose our faith in authority. We start to lose our faith in humanity. We walk around with this, it's like a growing mandate that we continuously have to prove things wrong. We continuously have to seek. There has to be another answer. We have to question everything. We're constantly reevaluating things we once just believed. Now, we all at some point in our lives had this doubt or question about God, about Christianity, about salvation and what it means to be a Christian. But when we surrender our lives to Him, we encountered something special, something powerful that we cannot describe to someone. It's a beautiful thing, and we experienced something so powerful, it gave our lives purpose. It gave our lives meaning. Something that triumphed over anxiety, something that triumphed over fear, something that conquered our stresses in our lives. We saw the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've been given this beautiful and powerful gift called faith in Christ. With our faith firmly and irrevocably rooted in Christ, we see the sick being healed. We see finances being provided where there needs to be provision. We see a lost or a broken friend or family member come to Christ. We see relationships restored. We see the broken being restored. We see God's faithful hand in our lives. We see addiction being broken. You come to a mountain in your life. You ask yourself, how am I going to conquer this mountain? How am I going to get around it? How am I going to get through it? Well, God tells you that you can move it. God tells you that you can move that mountain. You find yourself in a storm. You find yourselves, the waves are crashing around you. You don't know where to go. God tells you to get out of that boat and start walking. God tells us to start trusting Him in every situation. Amen. Thank you. So many times we think our faith is what's going to ensure the perfect outcome in our lives. It's not. It's that perseverance, it's that trust in God. God is going to ensure the perfect outcome in our lives, not us. We just need to trust Him. We just need to have that faith. The battle is His, not ours, not yours, not mine. It's His. We need to trust Him. Now, this morning it might sound like I'm only preaching to the saved, but there are still many of us that need to climb out of our boats. There are still many of us that need to put that foot forward and start walking through the sea. We read again in Exodus 14, verse 13 to 16, and I'm reading that whole part now. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." Now picture this. This is what actually happened. Is the cloud that was going before them, there was an angel going before the Israelites, and there was a cloud and a pillar of fire that went before them. After this had happened, the angel moved and he went behind the Israelites. Between the Egyptians and the Israelites, the angel was moving. Was moved to. The cloud shifted from the front to the back. So confusing the Israelites, this is the power of God in our lives. This is what He can do in your life, in my life, in everybody's lives. This is what He did. He confused them, the tower, the cloud, gave them darkness at night. It gave them darkness. So the Egyptians were confused. They could not see where they were going. Yet on the other side, the Israelites had light. God gave them light. God took the wheels off the chariots of the Egyptians, so they could not move. The battle is His. The battle is not ours. We need to know this. The battle is not ours to fight. The battle is God's. We need to believe that He is fighting for us. We need to take the focus of our hearts and our minds off what the world tells us it's going to look like, off what the distractions of the world shows us. The world is not going to give us the outcome. God is. Immovable faith is going through the sea, looking back, knowing that death is behind you. That is not what we are doing. We are looking ahead, knowing that Christ is fighting for us, knowing that Christ is already there, knowing that we will walk through the water on dry land. Immovable faith is knowing that you can go into the furnace, straight into the furnace, and knowing that God is going to be with you, and that you are going to come out unharmed, unscathed, and you're not even going to smell of smoke. That is the God that we serve. He spoke the word. He spoke the earth into existence with His word. He sent His Son to show us the way, who died for our sins so we could live. He has done many great things, and He still does many great things. How much more can He not do what you have written on the beginning of this sermon? That promise that you trust God with. How much more can He not do that in your life? The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we trusting Him wholeheartedly? Are we still holding on? What are we holding on to? Now, we've prayed this morning, and I want if the band can come up so long. I want us to think, let's all just close our eyes quickly. Just think of the things that we are being distracted by in this world. What is causing us to be double-minded? What is causing us to trust God on the one side, yet completely lose all hope on the other side? And then I want us to speak to God and give Him these things that we are thinking of now, these things that we are identifying in our lives. The word of God says, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again today. This thing in your life you see today, you will never see that again. You are going to go through the water, and you're going to walk on dry land. Because we are going to trust God completely, fully, wholeheartedly, undoubtedly, unwavering. So Father, this morning we come against the distractions of the world, Lord. We come against that which is taking our focus completely off of You. Because we know You will ensure the end result, not us. You fight our battles for us, Lord. We just need to come to a place where we surrender and we trust You completely. So I want us as a church to do something. It might be uncomfortable, but that's okay. God's good with uncomfortable. That what you think is holding you back, that what you think is taking your focus completely off Christ, which is making you double-minded, which is like Peter being distracted by the boisterous wind, then you start to sink. When you have identified that, I want you to pray it audibly. Pray it loudly. Hear it as you pray it to God and give it to Him now in faith. Let's do that as a church. Some of us wanted to come up this morning. Some of us wanted to get out of our boats, come stand here and receive prayer. But we were still holding on to something. We were still being distracted. We were still being withheld. We were still believing a lie. If that is you this morning, and while we continue to stay in prayer, if that is you and you are trusting God for a breakthrough in your life, for a massive breakthrough, a small breakthrough, whatever it is, you are trusting God and you are saying to yourself now, I'm not going to be double-minded. I want you to come up to the front that we can pray for you. This is me standing in front of God saying, Father, I'm trusting you completely. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to look behind me and look at death and worry if I'm going to die here. I'm going to walk ahead. I'm going to walk through this waterfall. I'm going to trust you. If that is you, please come to the front. Some of the small group leaders or leadership that would like to pray with, please also come to the front. We're going to give it some more time. We're all facing mountains. We are all facing troubled times in our life. No one's life is perfect. It may even look like someone's life is perfect from the outside, but trust me, everybody is facing something. You need that faith, that boldness, that complete, perfect faith, as the word said. You need that faith in your life. Please come to the front that we can pray for you for that. While people are coming to the front, the ushers can hand out the communion.
Never stop.
just feel there are still some people here that does something physical in their lives, physical healing maybe, that you need prayer for. If there's something that you need prayer for, if it's something physical healing, but you're scared to come up, it's okay. I want to encourage you to come up that we can pray for you. Because God can do anything. Father, just as we stand here in faith and believing you and trusting you and knowing that you will come through for us, Father, we need only to focus on you and trust you completely, Lord. We thank you for that you have given us this faith, Father. We pray for that to increase in our lives, to do it so much more easily, Lord, and to not be distracted by this world. Father, this morning we are just reminded by what the ultimate example of faith was, Father, that you died on that cross for us, Lord. You were sacrificed for us, for our sins, Lord, so that we could live. So this morning we just come before you, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you for showing us what complete faith looks like, that perfect love that you've given us, Lord. Father, just as we take this bread, remembrance of your broken body to us, Father, that just as we eat it together as a congregation, we will be reminded of what you have done, how your body was broken for us, what you have went through for us. But you still had faith in your Father. You still had faith in God, knowing that you would come through on the other side. Let's eat together. Fallen by your blood, we are cleansed, we are made whole, we are made clean, Lord. Father, just as we prayed now for many, we pray, now washed clean by the blood of Christ. See this picture as the blood just goes for being poured over us, Father, just as it comes over us, we are being made spotless and clean like your church, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of this, Lord. Thank you for your blood, Father, that washes away our sins, that makes us whole again, that restores us. So we always sing that song, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow," Lord. Thank you for making us new again. Drink together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.